Let's bring it back home here to the United States, where I'm sure there's a very relieved Mitt Romney back on the campaign trail this morning leading up to Super Tuesday. He, of course, took home wins in both Arizona and Michigan last night. Michigan, especially important and significant as his home state. But all four Republican candidates got a jump on their Super Tuesday campaigning during their speeches last night. And joining us right now, Lisa Schifrin, Republican speechwriter who also blogs for National Review. Thank you for joining us, Lisa.
Hi, Celeste.
You know, I wonder, having listened to the speeches after all of these results come in from these different caucuses and primaries, if we've seen the end of the concession speech.
It sure does sound that way. I was actually, just because I'm old and I like manners, I was happy to hear that Rick Santorum had called Mitt Romney before he gave his speech to, I guess, say something congratulatory, which is decent and nice, and it was ugly when Newt Gingrich didn't do that previously. but I don't think a concession speech makes sense in a way in the middle of a primary that nobody's giving up yet. You make kind of a concession speech when you're leaving, I guess.
I guess, but isn't it generally de rigueur that you say, congratulations to my opponent on their win, you know, it appears I've lost. We usually get at least that kind of language, and we're not even hearing much of that recently.
Yep, I get it. Yes, yes, that is what one expects. And I think that they don't do it because, for instance, last night, Arizona was clear at 9 o'clock Eastern time when the speeches started, but Michigan hadn't really been wrapped up yet, and I think probably Santorum knew. I think he clearly knew because he had obviously spoken to Romney, but he did not maybe want to put that up front since it wasn't a headline yet. TV watchers were still waiting to hear results across Michigan.
Well, we're speaking with Lisa Schifrin, Republican speechwriter who also blogged for the National Review. Well, Lisa, let's take a closer look at what they did say. Let's take a listen here to a comment that Rick Santorum made in Grand Rapids.
My mom's a very, well, unusual person for her time. She's someone who did get a college education in the 1930s and was a nurse and got a graduate degree even as a nurse and worked full-time. And when she married my dad, they worked together at the Veterans Administration.
What do you hear here from Rick Santorum in terms of the ways that he's trying to reach out to? It sounds like he's trying to reach out to both women, of course, but also to middle-class Americans.
That he's trying to reach out to women and middle-class Americans. Rick Santorum, you know, you hear a lot, and especially on the left, scare tactics directed at women about how the minute Rick Santorum is in control, everybody gets a burqa and no more birth control. I think he's trying very, very hard to counter that impression and to appeal to women, and it's working. His numbers among Republican women have actually risen quite substantially in the last many weeks. He still lost the women's vote by, I don't have numbers in front of me, but the last I heard was better than 5% to Romney last night. So he is, I think, making a very concerted effort to reach out to women, and that's a smart thing for him to do. It's also smart if he wants to run on social values to make sure women can hear his message and are not pushed away up front. So he is saying, and what he's saying is true. This is a man who's very clearly surrounded by strong women, even physically, as you saw as he was standing on that podium with his wife and daughter flanking him. But he wants people to understand that he's not a Neanderthal.
All right. So that's Rick Santorum. Let's take a listen to Mitt Romney, the big winner in both Michigan and Arizona. And here's his message that perhaps he's trying to find maybe a new direction, maybe a new slogan for his campaign.
Last week, I unveiled a very bold economic plan. That's going to jumpstart the economy, and it's going to get Michiganders back to work. It's going to get Americans more jobs they're crying out for, and we're going to have less debt and smaller government, and I'm going to deliver on more jobs, less debt, and smaller government. We've got to hear that day in and day out. More jobs, less debt, smaller government.
More jobs, less debt, smaller government. Is that an effective slogan there?
I think it is. I think ultimately the election comes down to the economy, and that is short and punchy, and going after it over and over is a good idea. The thing that struck me about Mitt last night was his tone. He was just confident and cocky and came out fighting, and he looked like a winner, which I think many people would love to see him do, even at moments where he hasn't just won a primary. You know, too often he sounds, he doesn't sound quite that energetic, and he doesn't get the, you know, the talking points down quite that fluently. So I think he clearly has somebody on his staff, and I find this charming, although it could get annoying, who loves alliteration. The one that I wrote down was, you know, about President Obama being the path to debt, deficits, and decline. So, and
well,
he did that a few times.
Threes. There's a power in threes, right, Lisa?
Yes. There is.
I have a penchant for alliteration myself as my staff.
No, no, it's
attest.
A good thing. But there were three or four instances, and I thought, okay,
maybe a little
back.
Too much.
Find a new trope.
Lisa Schifrin, Republican speechwriter who also blogs for the National Review, talking about speeches from Santorum and Mitt Romney last night.
He thinks he deserves a second term. He says, we can't wait, to which I say, oh, yes, we can.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.